Raised by wolves with canine DNA in his blood, having trained more than 24,000 vets, helping you and your fur babies thrive. Live in studio, it's Pet Talk Today with Will Bangura, answering your pet behavior and training questions. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your host and favorite pet behavior expert, Will Bangura.
Good Saturday morning, pet lovers. I'm Will Bangura. Hey, thanks for joining me for another Pet Talk today. Yes, it's Saturday, March 25th. I'm here each and every Saturday morning answering your pet behavior and training questions. Doesn't matter whether you've got a small dog, a big dog. Doesn't matter whether your dog is young, a puppy, or an older dog. Doesn't matter if you've got a nuisance behavior like jumping or barking, or if you've got a more serious behavior like separation anxiety, fears, phobias, aggression. We cover it all here at Pet Talk Today. Do me a favor, hit that like button, show me some love. Come on, hit that like button, and then do me a favor, hit that share button so that more people can see what we're doing here, more people can learn about Pet Talk Today, and we can help more people. If you're brand new to Pet Talk Today, let me talk a little bit about how this works. In the comments section, what I'd like you to do, if you've got a question about your dog or your cat's behavior or whatever pet you have, go ahead and type your question into the comments section. And if you would, go ahead and please let me know, where are you watching from and what kind of pets you have and what are their names? Hope you're having a good week. Gosh, I can't believe we're almost into April. Unbelievable. Next month in April is going to be National Pet First Aid and CPR Awareness Month. So we're going to have Melinda Malone from Pet, she teaches pet CPR and first aid. We're going to have her live on the show. You're going to be able to see her. She's going to be talking about the pet first aid CPR course that she teaches. I can't recommend it enough. You never think that you need something like that until you need it. Until there's an emergency, and then you're really, really glad. You're really glad that you have it. Last week we had a lot of questions, and I'm not sure that, you know, sometimes I can't get to everybody's questions. So I appreciate your patience. If I wasn't able to get to your questions, sometimes I'm able to go back into the comments and reply there. And there are times when I just can't. So keep coming back. Keep posting your question. If I haven't gotten to it, I've got a few that I actually printed out from last week that that I might get into as well. But again, if you've got a question about your pet's behavior, go ahead, type it in the comment section, and I'll be looking at those questions in just a second and be helping you out with whatever behavior problems you're having. Also, for the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about how I want to discuss, how do you introduce dogs to one another? And that could be something as benign as, you know, two happy-go-lucky dogs. How do you introduce those two dogs? It could be something as much as, hey, I've got two dogs that are aggressive that have been living together. We've had to separate them, and now we want to reintroduce them. Is it okay to do that? So I want to talk about how, what's the proper way to introduce dogs? Because a lot of times we're just throwing them in together. And, you know, for stable dogs, that's okay. But there's a lot of dogs that aren't stable. And a lot of people are throwing their dogs together and then boom, there's an eruption. There's a fight. So we will be talking about that later today as well. Let me take a look at my questions here, the comments, see what we have. Ellen, hello. Thanks for being here, Ellen. Noel says, my dog attacks everyone who comes in the house. He's bitten four times, so he wears a muzzle now. How can we get him to stop this? I'm from West Virginia. My dog's name is Jake. Well, Noel, that can be heartbreaking. You know, when we've got a beloved fur baby and they're attacking people and biting people. Okay. First of all, that tells me that your dog has very, very poor bite inhibition. Okay. And very poor bite threshold. And what that means is it doesn't take a lot of stress for your dog to want to go ahead and use its teeth. It doesn't take a lot of stress for your dog to feel that it needs to go into fight or flight. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, all aggression is based in fear. I don't care what it is. Resource guarding is based in fear. I'm going to lose that resource. Territorial aggression is based in fear. Oh, something threatening is going to happen in my territory. Possessiveness of maybe the pet guardian, the fear of something happening to them since you provide all the resources to the dog. Even dominance aggression, which really, really, the only thing that dominance means is something that relates to a mate, mating. And dominance aggression is the fear of losing the mate or not getting that mate. So all aggression is based in fear. No animal goes into fight or flight unless they perceive something as threatening. Now, like I said, that doesn't mean that there's a real threat. But we need to understand that because we tend to focus so much on that outward aggressive behavior, whether it be snapping, lunging, barking, biting. And what we need to focus on is what's the cause of that? What's the underlying root cause? The underlying root cause is fear and anxiety, whether it's rational or irrational. And so the treatment, how do you help a dog that has aggression problems? You help them with their fear. You help them with their anxiety. You help them to have a different emotional response to the environment, the situation, the trigger, whether it's a person or a dog that they're aggressing towards because they feel that that triggers a threat. The first thing you need to understand is canine body language tells us everything we need to know about whether or not that dog is comfortable. And we tend to not understand canine body language. I'll tell you what, if you've got a dog that has even the slightest bit of anxiety, the slightest bit of fear, the slightest bit of aggression, you need to understand canine body language. You need to understand canine body language, and you need to be fluent in that. And that means, you know, you could pick up the Canine Body Language book from Brenda Aloff. That's great. CrimsonHound.com. CrimsonHound.com. They've got a $12 canine body language course for pet parents. So we've got that. And I highly, highly recommend that you do that because everything you need to know about your dog is in their body language. And a lot of people can read the big signs, but by that time, it's too late. When your dog hits that red zone and starts attacking, it's too late. And a lot of times, people will tell me, they'll say, "Will, it just came out of nowhere. It just happened. There was no sign." No, there's always a sign. There's always lots of signs. Now, granted, they may happen very quickly, but there's lots of signs in canine body language, but they're very subtle oftentimes. The little ones you don't know. And those are the ones that you need to know. I wrote an article just the other day, and here it is. You can go on to the website. Where is it? You go here to dogbehaviorist.com. Go to the article section at dogbehaviorist.com. We've got a lot of articles, but just wrote this article on understanding thresholds and canine body language, the key to successful counter conditioning and desensitization. Now, when you've got an aggressive dog, when you've got a dog that's fearful, when you've got a dog that's got phobias, anxiety, the treatment is counter conditioning and desensitization. Now, I could talk about that for hours. Counter conditioning and desensitization. It's a gradual, slow process of changing the emotional response the dog has to the trigger. Right now, the dog views those people as scary things. And that's why it's being aggressive, because it wants those scary things in its mind to go away, to have distance and space. And what happens? When the dog acts that way, either the person runs away, creates distance and space, or usually you'll grab your dog and pull your dog out of the way, creates distance and space. And that's what the dog wants. The dog's not comfortable being that close. It needs distance and space, and it's not going to grow out of it. And you need to understand that in the beginning, the first thing you need to do is prevent these things from happening. And that is making sure that your dog doesn't get so close to these triggers that your dog is reacting the way it is. Now, you know what the triggers are. All of you, I'm not just talking about one person. You all know what your dog's triggers are. You need to stop allowing them to experience those triggers. That's not the fix. I know that. But it's the first step to the fix. Because if your dog keeps rehearsing the behavior over and over and over, that emotional state keeps coming out. That gets more conditioned, that fear, that anxiety. And then the behavior that follows, the aggressive behavior that follows, that gets more and more conditioned. First thing we need to do is stop all that from happening. Then we need to start presenting those triggers at a distance where your dog is comfortable and relaxed. Now, that might be a great distance. I don't know. But we've got to find that distance. And we've got to set up proactive training sessions 3 to 5 times a week for about 15 minutes each time where we're having a helper, a stranger, appear out of nowhere at a distance from the dog that the dog is comfortable, relaxed, relaxed body language. Now, you might not know truly if your dog is relaxed and comfortable if you don't understand canine body language. You might think you do. But I'm telling you, you've got to understand canine body language when you've got a dog like this. But you're going to present that trigger, that strange person, at a distance, and usually you're going to be starting outside. Yep, this is a long-term process. There are no quick fixes. Any quick fix is going to be short-lived. Ah, yeah, you can use punishment. No, you can't. It's just going to suppress the behavior. Don't punish your dog. Your dog doesn't... Are you going to punish your dog for being afraid? Think about it. You know, we don't think about that. It's the fear, okay? We need to help the dog with the fear. Counterconditioning and desensitization. We present it at a distance. We pair high-value food rewards at the exact moment that the dog sees the trigger. When the trigger disappears, the food stops. You do that over and over and over until the dog gets very comfortable, loves that game, and then you move a little closer. You repeat that, and you go a little closer. Now, there's a lot more to it than that. So what I want you to do, and anybody that has an aggressive dog, reactive dog, fearful dog, dog with anxiety, phobias, I want you to go to the Pet Talk Today audio podcast. Really simple to do. Go to Google. We all do the Google thing. Go to Google and put in Pet Talk Today podcast. Go to Apple Podcast or any of the podcasting platforms. You're going to see it. You know, there's going to be a lot of listings when you do that. Go to the audio podcast. Look for episode 81. Episode 81. That's the one you want to look for. Episode 81 is an hour and 35 minutes on nothing more than counter conditioning and desensitization. I think I have this conversation about episode 81 every single week I do this show. But it's that important. And then also, in addition to that, go to my website, dogbehaviorist.com. Go to the menu, go to articles, and find the one that I have about understanding thresholds and understanding canine body language so that you can have success with counter conditioning and desensitization. But the first step is you've got to keep the dog out of that situation right now. And you know, you probably need to hire a professional. This is not easy work. You know, I can help you guys give you advice, but, you know, when we're talking about the real deal aggression, you probably need to find yourself a veterinary behaviorist. Your dog might need medication in conjunction with training and behavior modification. You need to find yourself an applied animal behaviorist or a certified behavior consultant. They're very different than a regular dog trainer. Regular dog trainers, they're well-intentioned, but, you know, they should be sticking to teaching dogs to sit, lay down, come when called, maybe do some tricks, maybe a little bit of agility. But when it comes to severe, serious behavior problems, you need a behavior professional. Let me go back to the question. Oh, by the way, when you check out the audio podcast, and even if you're not going to do that, do me a favor. If you like what I do, please give me a 5-star review on Apple Podcast. If you're listening to the audio podcast on Apple, please give me a 5-star review if you like what we do. That helps us rank higher. That helps more people get this information. All right, let's get back to the questions here. Let's see. Kiko says, I've got an old English bully who's 10 months old and keeps eating his poop. How can I stop this behavior? And you're from Corona, California. Well, dogs eating their poop, coprophagia. Coprophagia. I've got an entire article about how to help dogs that are eating their poop, and it's on my website, dogbehaviorist.com. There's dozens of great articles on all kinds of behavior problems. Go to dogbehaviorist.com, look for that article on coprophagia. But one of the things that we know is that a lot of dogs that are eating their poop are not digesting all of the food that they have. Now, that's not every dog that eats their poop, but a lot of them are not digesting all of their food. And so there's leftover food items, yummy stuff for the dog, in their poop because it didn't get digested. So now the poop becomes another source of food for the dog. So one of the things that is recommended in the literature, the research, the science, is get your dog on a probiotic, but also get your dog on a digestive enzyme as well. Now, I'm not a veterinarian. I can't give out medical advice. Really, that's not medical advice, but I always encourage people when you try something like that, talk to your veterinarian first. Consult with a licensed veterinarian. Make sure that it's going to be okay for your dog. But then check out that article as well, because there's a lot of behavioral things that you can do as well. Okay, Mary's got a question. How do we stop him from barking at people? He's known for over a year and a half. Mary. If your dog is barking at people that he's known for a year and a half, there's usually one of two reasons your dog is barking. It's either demand barking. Hey, pet me. Hey, play with me. Hey, throw the ball for me. Or it's what we call a distance increasing bark. Your dog's telling them, back off. I'm uncomfortable. You're too close. I need space. Now, I just got done talking about dogs that have aggression and are reactive, and how we need to use counter conditioning and desensitization. And it's a long-term process. But the first thing is stop putting your dog in a situation where your dog experiences that and has to have that emotional state of anxiety over and over and over, paired with people and people that it knows for over a year. That's just going to keep conditioning and ingraining that emotional state and then the behavior that follows. So the first step is prevention. Again, it's not the fix, but it's the first step to the fix. We got to have the dog stop rehearsing that behavior. Then we're going to stage setups. We're going to have these people that your dog knows one at a time appear where your dog can see that person, but at a distance where your dog doesn't care. And there's a distance. I don't know what it is, but there's a distance. Every dog that's aggressive and fearful, there's a distance that you can get that person, or if they're afraid or aggressive towards another dog, there's a distance you can get that other dog away from your dog where your dog becomes relaxed, where the body language is loose, where your dog will take food, where your dog will focus on you. Your dog knows that the trigger's there, but it's far enough away they don't care. That's where the work begins. At that distance, you are feeding your dog high-value food rewards, but only when the trigger's there. And you play a game. Trigger appears. Feed. Constantly and continuously for about 1 to 3 seconds. Trigger leaves. We have that person or dog get out of sight. As soon as that's out of sight, we stop feeding the dog. And we do that over and over and over for about 10 to 15 minute sessions, at least 3 to 5 times a week. You have to do this 3 to 5 times a week or it's not going to happen. And this can take months. It can take 6 months. All right. There are no quick fixes. You know, I know there's trainers out there that promise it. Send your dog to my board and train. Send your dog to my boot camp for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I'll fix your aggressive dog. No, the only way to do that, and it's not fixing, is punishing with prong collars, choke collars, shock collars, heavy-handed, harsh verbal corrections. Now think about that. The root problem is fear and anxiety. The aggression isn't the problem. That's your dog's solution to their fear. Get rid of the fear and the anxiety, you get rid of the aggression. So when we use punishment and corrections on aggression, it's going to make it worse. First, it's going to suppress the behavior because of fear, pain, and intimidation. The dog will shut down. You might not see the dog be reactive and aggressive for a week, 2 weeks, a month, maybe even 2 months, maybe 3 months, you won't see the behavior. But it's going to come back. I treat dogs that have been through this process all the time. It always comes back. It always comes back because you didn't deal with the fear. And until you deal with the fear and the anxiety, that aggression's always going to be looming. Episode 81, Pet Talk Today podcast on counter conditioning and desensitization. Again, go to the website dogbehaviorist.com. You can get some of the articles there as well that will help you. All right, let's get back to the questions here. Back to the barking thing. Mary, so if they kept coming closer, Mary, your dog's either going to run away or attack. Okay? Your dog's either going to, you know, go one way or the other. So you've got to start doing the counter conditioning and desensitization. And until then, you have to avoid those triggers. Joan says, I've got a new pup. She's 8 months and jumping. Jumping's the number one thing. Can't get her to come in from outside, and she's pottying in the house. Well, yeah, you've got an 8-month-old puppy. A little bit, pottying in the house at 8 months. Let's get you started there. Not that I always want to send everybody to the podcast, but hey, we've got great resources there. Go to the Pet Talk Today audio podcast. Do a Google search. Look for episode 16. Episode 16 is 45 minutes of nothing but in-depth information on how to potty train the most difficult puppy, how to potty train the most difficult dog. The first thing, I'll tell you the first thing, here's the number one tip when you're potty training. The puppy or the dog needs to be in your eyesight at all times, and that usually means putting them on a leash and bringing them with you everywhere. And when you can't watch them, when they can't be with you, you need to put them in a crate. I didn't say a playpen, I said a crate. Before you ever put the puppy in the crate, you or a dog, you need to let them go outside to try to relieve themselves. They need to be out there for about 5 minutes. If you think they need to relieve themselves and they don't, you bring them back in after 5 minutes, put them in the crate for about 10 minutes, bring them back out for another 5 minutes. If you think they've got to go and they didn't, then repeat that. Back in the crate for 10 minutes if they did not go. Then back out for 5. If they didn't go then, they probably are not going to go. Then you've got them in the crate. Now, a young puppy, they really shouldn't be in that crate for more than an hour, 2 at the most. And you need to be making sure that you are rewarding your dog generously, super high-value food rewards, cut up chicken, cut up steak. Your dog goes to the bathroom in the right place outside, a party needs to happen. Good girl, good boy. Start giving high value food rewards a paycheck. And make that something special. Don't give treats and high value food rewards for a puppy or a dog just doing nothing. Save that as a paycheck for the work, for the training, for the things we're trying to motivate them to learn to do. But go to episode 16 of the Pet Talk Today podcast. If you like what we do, please give us a 5-star review on our audio podcast. All right, back to the questions. Okay, Barbie says, I've got a question. Every time I eat, she feels like she needs to eat my food. And I'd be giving her dog food. How do I stop her from jumping on me and taking my food? All right, so let's talk about another thing because, Joan, you were talking about your puppy jumping. And Barbie, you're talking about your dog jumping, but you're also talking about your dog begging for food, it sounds like. By the way, I've got a full article on how to deal with jumping. I've got a full article on how to deal with begging on my website at dogbehaviorist.com. Go to the menu, go to articles, find those articles. That will help you. But first of all, when it comes to jumping, and listen, any behavior problem that we have with our pets, any behavior that we want to stop, I want you to start thinking about not so much what you don't want your dog to do, start thinking about what you do want your dog to do. Because your dog doesn't know any better. Oh, I know you think your dog knows better. But truly, if your dog knew better and they want to please you, they would do better. It's our job to teach them. Dogs aren't being dominant. Everybody wants to throw that word out. Dogs are being dominant. No, they're not. They're unruly. And what unruly means is that you have not taught them the rules. It's our job to show them what we want them to do and reward them for that so that they're going to want to do that more often. Wherever they're getting the paycheck, what's ever being reinforced, that's what they're going to want to do. So let's say that you proactively, Barbie and Joan, start working with your dogs on teaching them to sit. How about you start having them sit for you 30 times a day? Every day, make sure you're giving them a high-value food reward when you ask them to sit. How about you, little by little, as time goes by, make them wait a little bit longer in that sit before you give them the food reward? Don't wait too long or they're going to get up. You want success. So, you know, gradually, very slowly. Again, don't rush these processes. Good training takes time and it takes conditioning. But working on a sit, and working on that sit command or cue anywhere, many places in the house, then start going outside, working it outside. Now, gradually introducing distractions. If your dog can't focus, if your dog won't take food, hey, you've gotten into too heavy of distractions. And then you want to start going to heavier and heavier distractions and then go off property. And the same thing. Start with low-level distractions, then build up to high-level distractions. Now you've got an alternative behavior that you can ask your dog to do when your dog wants to jump. Rather than punishing a dog for doing something that you really taught the dog to do. Yeah, we teach our dogs to jump. You know how? We start picking them up as puppies. When we pick them up as a puppy, that teaches them to jump. They want to get up. Because they liked that we picked them up. They liked that we pet them and kissed them and loved them, hopefully. And so they want to keep getting up. And that's where jumping starts. Okay? So all of a sudden now people want to punish the dog for doing something that we taught them to do. No. Teach them an alternative. That's not fair. Teach them an alternative behavior that you can reward them for. And then when they want to jump, ask for them to sit and reward them. Okay? You've got to be patient. It takes time. But we need to think about the learner, your dog. What has been their experience? What is going to be the experience of what you want to do to help them? But that's called differential reinforcement. You're teaching them a different behavior than jumping, a behavior that if they're committed to doing, like sitting, would be incompatible with the behavior you don't want them to do, jumping. If your dog's committed to sitting, it can't be sitting and jumping at the same time. So that's one of the things that both of you can do for your dogs that have jumping issues. Let's see here. Back to the questions. All right. Hey, Joan, how are you? Joan's from New Jersey. She's got a lab husky mix. Appreciate you watching. Hey, everybody, I'm Will Bangura. If you're just joining me, this is Pet Talk Today. I'm here each and every Saturday morning from 11 o'clock Eastern time. We're here for an hour answering your dog and your cat and other pet training and behavior questions. If you've got a question about your pet's behavior, do me a favor. Go ahead and type your question in the comment section. And also let me know where you're watching from, what kind of pets you have, oh, and what their name is as well. And I'm going to try to get to as many questions as I can. And I said I was going to talk about introducing dogs, and I am going to do that because for 3 weeks, I said I'm going to talk about how to introduce dogs the right way, and I haven't gotten to it because we've got so many great questions. I appreciate your questions so much, and I wish I could answer everybody's questions every time you post them. And I apologize if I can't always get to your question. Keep coming back. Keep asking those questions. All right, getting back to those questions. Where is it? Donna. Where's Donna? Donna's got a Shih Tzu, and I see you later in the thread. I'm trying to see where you're quiet. Okay, my dog bites me constantly. We've had her since she's 8 weeks old. She's 10 years old. Well, Donna, your dog has 10 years of reinforcement biting you. If your dog's biting you, your dog wants you to back off. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you've had a dog for 10 years that's afraid of you or afraid of something that you're doing. But that's what it is. Donna, you need to find a veterinary behaviorist. You need to find a veterinary behaviorist, not a regular veterinarian, but a veterinary behaviorist. So get online and do a Google search. Find a veterinary behaviorist near me. Okay. They specialize in dogs like yours, because if your dog was biting you at 8 weeks and has bitten you for 10 years, that's serious, very serious, very pathological. Okay. There are some dogs that, you know, they've got genetic problems, genetic predispositions, trauma they may have had. Even before they were born, they can have trauma in the womb. There can be neurochemical imbalances. So you've got an older dog. The first thing we want to do is rule out what, if any, medical issues could be contributing factors to this. So start with that. And then the other thing, you need a professional. This has been going on for 10 years. And I guarantee you, this is not going to be cured. It's something that can be managed and can be helped, but it's not going to be cured. And folks, let me just say this. And I know every pet owner has great intentions. You all love your pets. You wouldn't be watching if you weren't great pet owners. But oftentimes we are in denial. We minimize what our pets are doing when it's aggressive. We don't think about oftentimes that it's fear. And we need to be dealing with that. We don't think about that. Hey, their aggression is communication. You know, the worst thing we could do is correct or punish a dog that growls. You want to teach a dog to bite without a warning? Think about it. Don't ever correct or punish a growl. That is the dog warning you, hey, I'm getting ready to bite you if you don't back off, you don't stop. Yeah, you're going to teach a dog to bite without warning if you do that. Don't get rid of the communication system. We need to be working with the fear. We need to be working with the fear. So what do you do if the dog growls in that moment? Use a command like, let's go, here, come, and move the dog away. And actually reward the dog for coming with you, rather than punishing the dog for growling, which is a warning sign, which we don't want to punish. We need that. We need that communication. And if your dog's willing to disengage when you give a command, that's fantastic. Reward that. See the mindset. Think about not so much what you don't want your dog to do, what you want your dog to do. Then you got to start doing counter conditioning and desensitization. I talk about that every single week. Well, that's pretty much what we talk about. Dogs that have aggression issues, fears, phobias, anxiety. Episode 81. on the Pet Talk Today audio podcast, hour and 35 minutes, counter conditioning and desensitization. Also, go to my website, dogbehaviorist.com. Look at the articles I've got there. There's over 50 articles on various topics that can give you a lot of help. Also, I do consultations all over the world. I do virtual consultations. You can spend as many minutes, hours as you want with me. If you do need my help, professional help, and you can't find anybody that lives close to you that is good or qualified, go to my website, shoot me a message. I'd be happy to help you as well. Let's go back to the questions here. What do we have here? Barbie got her, Sherry. Okay, so Sherry says, how do I stop my dog from thinking every person that walks by us on the street is his best friend? Well, you need to start working on focus exercises, teaching your dog to watch you. You know, you can do that with name recognition. What you can do, let's say let's give a fictitious name of Lucy, Lucy the dog, okay? And you go, Lucy, Lucy. As soon as Lucy looks up at you, mark and reward. Then say, Lucy, Lucy. As soon as Lucy looks up at you, mark and reward. Then start making your dog look up at you a little bit longer before you mark and reward that behavior. You'll go, Lucy, Lucy. As soon as Lucy looks at you, think 1001, 1002, mark and reward. And gradually, over time, have your dog look at you a little longer when you reward it. And then gradually, over time, start working in very mild distractions. If your dog can't focus and do what we just taught the dog to do, you haven't done enough repetition and conditioning in a lower level distracting environment. You've gone into a higher level distracting environment that's too high of distraction too soon, you've got to take a step back. Very gradually and systematically, you do these exercises over and over and over, lots of conditioning. You need muscle memory where the dog doesn't have to think about it. That's a lot of conditioning. You don't realize, folks, if you really want a well-trained dog, if you want a well-trained dog in these crazy situations where they've had lots of problems, it takes a lot of work, but it's very rewarding. And the bond that you and your pet will have as you go through this process is absolutely amazing. And you learn so much, and it teaches you patience. A lot of good things it teaches you. Dogs teach us a lot of great things. Now, one of the things that you're going to have to do is stop letting your dog have crazy, excitable, happy, crazy experiences with people. Chances are, I might be wrong. I could be totally wrong. But in my experience, what I have found is that dogs that do what your dog does, thinking everybody its best friend and on the walk wants to go crazy, is that it's met a lot of people. And maybe it's met a lot of people on walks, and it's been very excitable greetings. And so that's been conditioned. And now every time the dog sees a person, that's the cue or command to get excited, because that person is like the treat bag that just came out. You've got to start doing exercises. Again, focus exercises. Teaching the dog, when you say its name, to look at you. Teaching the dog to touch, you know, where you teach the touch command, you put your hand out and the dog, its nose touches your hand, you say touch and you give it a reward, and then eventually you can say touch, and you can move the dog around by moving your hand and saying touch, and the dog touches the hand. I don't have an article on touch. I will have an article on touch next week. But different things that, you got to think about what behavior do I want my dog to do? What can I teach my dog to do instead that if it's committed to doing that behavior, it can't do the behavior I don't want it to do? And part of that is using obedience exercises, teaching your dog to walk and focus on you. But the problem is that you're too close to these triggers, too close to the distraction, too close to the people, and your dog's losing it. You got to back up and do your work where your dog can see the people, but it's far enough away where your dog's not what we call over threshold. Your dog's got to be able to focus, take treats, and respond to commands. If your dog cannot do that, you're too close too soon. And you've got to spend a lot of time train. You know, 5, 7, 10 minute training sessions, but you got to do them 3 to 5 times a week. They need that consistency and repetition. Don't think in terms of days. Don't think in terms of weeks. If you've got a troubled dog, think in terms of months. And you'll have permanence and reliability where, you know, your dog can learn something quickly. Your dog might learn something in 3 minutes. But that doesn't mean that there's permanence. That doesn't mean that there's reliability. That doesn't mean that you have done the work of training your dog in varying levels of distractions. Because think about it. When do you need your dog to listen? When do you need this stuff to work? It's not when it's you and your dog hanging out at night. It's 10 o'clock at night. Everything's calm. Everything's quiet. It's when all heck is breaking loose. That's when you need your dog to listen. That's when you need your training to actually work. And if we're not practicing and gradually building up to heavy distractions, our training's pretty much useless. It's what I call trick training, because it won't hold up in the real world. I want to go and talk about dog-to-dog introductions. That's right. I'm not going to forget about it this week. So a lot of people have dogs that they've had aggression issues with other dogs, whether it be you've got a dog that has been aggressive to a strange dog, whether it be a dog that you have that's been aggressive towards a dog it knows that does not live in your house, or even a dog that you have that's been aggressive towards another dog in your home. How do we introduce them? Or let's say we've got a dog that we don't know. It hasn't been around dogs. It's not been socialized. We're not exactly sure how it is going to react to another dog. Or maybe you've got a dog that you think, because maybe on walks your dog gets reactive. You're like, well, I don't know that he's aggressive. Maybe he's just excited. Maybe he's just excited, wants to go over there, and you're unsure. You know, I hear people say, well, I don't know what would happen if I let him go. Well, don't just let them go. Don't just throw the dogs in together. Let's take a little time to do this the right way so that we have success. Because think about it. Think about it. When you throw the dogs in together, you might as well flip a coin. That's right. Flip a coin, because you've got a 50-50 shot of it going well. I don't like those odds. I don't want to gamble like that. Not with my precious fur baby. I'm not going to gamble. So I'm going to, first of all, know my dog. If I've got a dog that has a lot of problems, I need to be working with that first. I'm not going to bring a dog that I think is unstable around another dog. Remember, we talked about the counter conditioning and desensitization. So that's where I'm going to go to before I even think about this. We're going to fast forward and say that we did that, or we don't think we need to do that. And we know our dog, at least we think we do, and we think we've got a stable dog. But we want to bring our dog together with another dog. What do? Well, one of the first things I'm going to do is start scent swapping. And I'm going to do scent swapping for a couple days. I might do it for a week. What is scent swapping? Well, I'm going to take something, maybe a towel, maybe a shirt, and I'm going to rub that all over the body of one of the dogs and even get a little saliva on it. And when I say rub it all over the body, I mean all over the body, if you get my drift. And I'm going to do that to both dogs. They each have their own towel that I'm going to be wiping them with. But I'm going to give dog A's towel to dog B. And I'm going to give dog B's towel to dog A. So that now they haven't met each other, but they're going to start getting familiar with each other's scent every day. Every day I'm going to put the scent on that towel if I can. If it's a dog that doesn't live with me or that I can't get to relatively easily, that scent will last a while. But the more fresh it is, the better. But I'm going to do scent swapping first and foremost. Then before I get ready to introduce the dogs, I need to make sure I've got the right equipment. I want to get a 10 or a 15 foot long line, a 10 or 15 foot leash. And I want to make sure that I've got a treat pouch. I want to make sure I've got high value food rewards. Okay. And again, I'm dealing with what I believe my dog is stable, and I'm dealing with another dog that I believe is stable at this point. If they're not stable, forget about the introduction. Go back to counter conditioning and desensitization, the behavior modification work, to see if you can even get to the point of introducing. But after you've got your equipment, one of the things that you want to do is, like I've been talking about a lot, is understand canine body language, because the canine body language is going to tell you everything you need to know. Hey, should these dogs meet? What's their body language telling me? What am I seeing? Do I have a dog that's very loose and relaxed? Dog that's mouth is open. It's got relaxed eyes. There's no tension in the forehead. The eyes aren't big and wide. They're just relaxed. They're almond shaped. Relaxed face. I've got a tail that is kind of wagging loosely. Okay. The tail that's up high, wagging fast, that's not good. That's a stressed out dog. Tail that's down and tucked, that's not good. That's a fearful dog. Those are all recipes for disaster. A very loose, relaxed dog, and there's a lot more to canine body language. I cannot emphasize enough, learn about canine body language. Go to the Crisman Hound website. Do the body language course for pet parents for $12. Buy the book Canine Body Language on Amazon by Brenda Aloff. Best investment you'll ever do. Now, you understand canine body language before you bring them together. You put the 15-foot long line on. You are going to start by going outside, and you're going to go to a neutral territory. That's right. This is a lot of work, huh? But you know, when you do this, there aren't fights. Your dog's not getting ripped up and bit up, and your dog's not getting tears and having to go to the emergency hospital to get staples and drainage tubes put in and stitches. Your dog's not traumatized for life and now really can't be around other dogs. And that's why we do it the right way. Now, I understand my canine body language. I've got all my equipment. I got my dog outside. We're in a neutral territory. I'm going to start at a distance, again, all about distance and thresholds. I'm going to start at a distance where the dogs can see each other, know that they're there. However, they don't care. They don't have a care in the world. That's the distance I need to start at. Now, remember, I've got a 10 or a 15 foot long line. I'm not talking about retractable. They've got a 10 to 15 foot long leash where there's a handle on it, just like a regular leash. It's like a cotton leash or a nylon leash. Why do I do a 10 or 15 foot? Because when I'm at that distance, I want to see what's my dog doing on a loose leash. Is my dog wanting to go towards the other dog? Is my dog wanting to go away? Is my dog completely not interested in just doing whatever, hanging out with me? If I've got a short leash, couple things is that the dog doesn't believe it has that freedom to either go towards the dog or go away. And you, a lot of times, are going to see more reactivity, more aggression when a dog is on leash, because again, if they get nervous, if they view something as threatening, they're going to go into fight or flight. And on a tight, short leash, They can do neither. They can't go into fight. They're restrained with the leash. They can't go into flight or fight. So having that longer leash, I still have control of the dog, and I can cinch it up. I can make it shorter if I need to. But it gives me the ability to see what the dog's going to do at a distance now. I would never bring the dog close enough on that long of a leash where they could connect without doing this work first. So I need to know, does my dog listen to me? Will my dog respond to training I've done previously? Hey, if you haven't trained your dog and you think you may have an issue with your dog meeting another dog, don't put them together. Again, you need to get your dog focused on you. You need your dog to be doing a job, doing something different as it's beginning to meet this other dog. And if you haven't done some training on basic commands, you can't do this. So you got to do that first. Now, little by little, you're going to get closer and closer to the dog, reading their body language. At any point in time, you start seeing stress signals. Now, if they hit the red zone, hackles go up, you know, the hair goes up, piloerection, they show their teeth, growling, snapping, lunging, whoa, way over threshold, forget it, might as well end for that day, go back to counter conditioning and desensitizing. Little by little, you're going to get closer, but you can only get as close as calm, relaxed body language. And when you can get each dog close together with calm, both dogs having calm, relaxed body language, then you let them sniff each other for about 3 seconds, and then you call your dog away from the other dog. Let's go. Come. Heel. Here. Move away. Reward your dog. Get them to disengage. Now, bring them back towards each other. And when you bring them back towards each other, don't bring them in straight on. That's threatening. Bring them in, kind of arc. Kind of make like a little circle and little by little, you know, get them in like that. But watch the body language. Any stress signals, dilated pupils, ears going back, mouth closing with a straight line. Dog that does lip licking, tongue flicking, licking their nose. Did you know if that moment they started scratching, that could be a stress signal? Also, there's a thing called a urogenital check where they start sniffing their private parts. That's a stress signal. If I get closer, the stress will go up. How bad will it go as I get closer? I don't want to know. I'm going to back up. I'm seeing some stress signals. I'm seeing the dog go from open, panting, in a good way panting, to a closed mouth and now short and shallow breathing. That's a stress signal. So there's lots of little subtle stress signals. A paw lift, stress signal. As we're going in, the dog's turning its head away. Appeasing signal, still a stress signal. Dog yawning as we're going in. These are all little subtle canine body language cues. Maybe you know some of them. Maybe you knew all of them, but maybe you didn't know many of them, or maybe you didn't know any of them. These and many, many more canine body language cues that let you know how your dog is doing. Should you keep going closer towards that strange dog? Should they meet? You need that information. I don't care, again, if it's two dogs that were fighting that you separated and did lots of behavior modification work, counter conditioning and desensitization, and now you're trying to get them all the way together. Same process. Two strange dogs that don't live together, you're trying to get them together. Same process. Now, the more stable the dog is, the quicker this is going to be. You might be able to introduce two dogs in 3-4 minutes or less. Then again, you may have to take 3-4 days for some dogs. You know what scares me, where I run into issues, where I get calls and where there's lots of problems is you have a dog or dogs and you want to go visit a family member or your family member, and they've got dogs, and you want to bring your dogs with you. Or your family members have dogs and they're going to come visit you and you've got dogs and they want to bring their dogs with them. And a lot of times it's a disaster. But if you understand this information about how you introduce dogs the right way, you can have success and avoid the horrible pitfalls of having the dogs have a fight and traumatizing each other. And then maybe things are ruined for the rest of their life. I've got an article that talks all about how to introduce dogs the right way. If you go to my website at dogbehaviorist.com, again, I've got over 50 articles up there. Look for the one on how to introduce dogs, and they'll give you a lot more detailed information. Let's take a look. I've got a little more time. So there it is. I got to the introducing dogs. Finally, after 3 weeks of saying that I'm going to get to it, we finally got to that. I've got a couple minutes. Let me look at the comments. Let me look at the questions and see if there's anything here that... All right, Lessa. Is it Lessa or Lisa? Spelled L-E-S-A. Anyway, how do I get my 15-week-old pity lab puppy to be gentle with our cat? He starts out fine, but gets too excited that the cat is paying attention to him and tries to play like the cat is a puppy. The cat is a Norwegian forest cat, which is a larger sized, larger sized cat. So a lot of these answers, folks, are going to be the same. A lot of these answers are going to be very, very, very similar. And that is, you've got the puppy too close to the cat too soon. Okay. So maybe I get the puppy used to being exposed to the cat, but I got to be a lot further away. And I want to start doing exercises, keeping the puppy focused on me. One of the best things I might do is start teaching, again, name recognition, because your puppy can't be looking at you and be engaging in a bad way with the cat. At the same time, you'd have to give up one behavior for the other. So start teaching your puppy, when you say its name, to look at you and reward it. Like I was saying, if you were listening a little earlier, I went through that process. If you weren't listening or watching a little earlier, rewind this a little bit and hear what I say about how to teach your dog or your puppy to look at you when you say their name and how to get them to extend that look as far as duration looking at you. That is critical. Anything. You could teach your dog to sit, lay down. You could start going through a repertoire of behaviors where your puppy can see the cat, but it's got to be first starting far enough away where you can manage and control the puppy. And then little by little, you get them closer and closer. Little by little, you get the cat moving faster as a distraction. But anytime your puppy loses it and can't stay focused on you, too close too soon. And this is all about drive. It's prey drive. This is genetics. Not all of you have dogs that are pitties and lab mixes that have super high prey drive. So when they see a cat and everything moving quickly, they're going to go chase. And that adrenaline, that's the reward. The reward is the chase. It's not catching, because they usually don't catch the cat. The reward is the adrenaline, the chase. That's a powerful reinforcer. And when you've got a puppy or a dog with very high prey drive like that, these are the things you have to do, or you have to separate them. And in the beginning, you need to make sure that they stay far enough away. Because again, I've said this over and over and over. If your puppies are rehearsing the behaviors over and over that you don't want them to rehearse, that you don't want them to do, It's never going to get better. The first step is prevention. Second step, teach alternative behaviors. Then use those alternative behaviors at a distance under threshold and start conditioning your dog to be able to handle that kind of stimulation. Gradually and systematically, we're going to do that. Okay. Well, that means we are out of time. It's been a fantastic show. I appreciate everybody's questions. Do me a favor, hit that like button, hit that share button so that more people can benefit. Tell others about Pet Talk Today. I'm here each and every Saturday at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Have a great weekend. Don't forget, practice, practice. Train with your puppies and dogs. Have a great weekend. I'm out of here.